CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Rocket success. Rocket success 2021. Bob Zimmerman charts rocket success. Boosters is a fancy word. In 2021. And keeping the website behind the black, this is an important indicator of where we're headed in 2022. Bob, a very good evening to you. There is a winner. Maybe not a surprise winner, but a significant indication of the road ahead in 2021. Good evening to you, Bob.
Good evening, John. Yes, every year, you know, as my readers and your listeners know, I track launches as they occur year by year, and including as they occur during the year. And when the year is over, I do an overall report on what the last year meant and the trends that are revealed by what those launches meant. One of the big news in 21 is that worldwide, companies and nations all told set a new record for the most successful launches in a single year. There were 134 successful launches in 21, and that topped the record that had been set back in 1975 of 133 launches. And it is most interesting to see that after literally almost two decades of decline and not a lot of launches, we suddenly in the last 3 to 5 years have been growing more than that, actually. In the last decade, the launch rate has been increasing steadily until it finally burst out in 21. And the growth of the number of launches, and this occurred, by the way, this record occurred when the world is still racked by the COVID panic and the restrictions that governments worldwide are putting on everyone. And yet the global launch industry was able to rack up the most launches ever. So that tells you a great deal about what the future holds just looking at that. The reasons this occurred also indicate a bright and exciting future in space. Two main things have caused this growth in the last decade. One is international competition. Prior to the arrival of China into the space arena, after the fall of the Soviet Union, the watchword was international cooperation. Can't we all get along, live in peace, work together? We'll get so much more done by combining our abilities. The result was the last 20 years was a stifled innovation, moribund development, not much accomplished, and basically a dying rocket industry. China arrives at the start of the 21st century and starts to put up manned flights and has been accelerating its growth during that period of time, and they're independent of that international cooperation setup, so they become a competitor. And that competition has awakened all the nations in the world for a desire to compete, no longer work together. They all want to carve out their territory in space. Pun intended, there's a vacuum out there and each one a part of it. There's this competition in the last two decades with China has forced all the other countries to start competing not only against China, but against themselves and against each other. And the result has been an increased number of launches, especially in the United States. But Russia as well has been aggressively trying to recover from a bad period and therefore is competing. And this also means that a lot of other third world countries or second world countries, such as India or Japan, or maybe first world, it depends on how you define it, they are pushing hard to join this battle and get their own place on the market, on the table. So that's one thing, international cooperation and international competition. And I'll say this, that the policy leaders worldwide have got to resist the guaranteed calls for international cooperation that are going to come from academics and government bureaucrats in the coming years. Every time there's competition, they start to call, we'll be so much better off if we cooperate. And every time we try cooperation, things die off. The competition is good, and it's not violent, and it's not warlike. It's peaceful. successful competition. It's basically free enterprise, but competing nations. And the second thing that's fueling this revival is private ownership. And this was started in the United States, and I won't deny it. I have a strong feeling that my policy paper, Capitalism Space, which recommended these exact ideas, had an influence. But policymakers in the United States since about 18, a year after my policy paper was published, have been transitioning to having private enterprise do everything they want done. NASA is no longer building things, except SLS, and it's not launching it. It's not building things or designing things. It's buying what it needs off the market. And that means private companies can compete for that business, and they are. And the result of that is that the American launch industry itself is thriving remarkably. In the last, I'd say, 10 years, there's been a steady, fast growth in the number of launches in the United States by many different companies, led by SpaceX. And this year, 48 launches were the most launches the United States did since the 1960s. And I expect that to grow even more because there are a lot of small companies coming along. So a very bright future in space, John. Obviously, things can go wrong, but we're looking for a very good future.
Bob, my measure from the outside, talking with you through these last years, is that commercial space is the driver for everything. It drives geopolitics. Yeah. It drives the competition between the states. It drives the U.S. government. It drives everything because commercial space doesn't wait. It goes right at success. It needs success. And it takes risks that governments cannot. For example, Bob, when Long March 5 was troubled by the Chinese space program, they were at risk. They shut down for a certain amount of time because they didn't want to try it again. And when that Long March 5 booster falls out of orbit and crashes where it will, that is not a success that would be rewarded. That's only a state could sustain that. Whereas with what you've taught me about commercial space, if they find a better way where their money is treated better, they'll go that way. They won't take into account what it looks like. They'll take risks. And you've taught that, Bob. And so let's go to China's space program. You wanted to review their space program for the year. I mentioned Long March 5B, which is what they're using now. They were complaining most recently that they were at risk from Starlink. Do you think they think they're in competition with Musk?
Oh, without question. I mean, your point about, you know, you're underlining the importance of commercial private enterprise in this competition is 100% right, John. And it's a case where China is in competition not only with other nations, and it's also in competition with private companies. And it has to somehow protect itself. And so, for example, when they complained about Starlink satellites interfering with their space station, what they were really doing is public relation maneuvering to prepare the world for the coming crashes of the core stage of the Long March 5B. Because I have a link on Behind the Black to a really nice review of China's space program, not only outlining what they've accomplished, but also talking about what they're going to do in the future. And one of the best parts of that was it was talking about their rocket development program. They're trying to replace all their rockets with liquid-fueled rockets, get rid of the hyperbolic, very toxic rockets they've used for decades. And that's a good part of this review, but there's one part of this review that I thought was really interesting. It has to do with their space station. In 22, they're going to be launching two more modules to the space station, and in both cases, they're going to use the Long March 5B rocket, and in the Long March 5B, as designed, its core stage reaches orbit, but a very unstable orbit that it can only stay up there for a week at most. And once it turns its engines off during the launch, it can't restart them. And so the thing basically is out of control, and it's big. It's big enough that it'll hit the ground. And so they've already had this happen twice before, and it's going to happen two times in 2022, where they're going to be putting that core stage temporarily into orbit to crash on the Earth. And so that's one of the reasons they made a big deal about Starlink, because they're trying to deflect criticism. They're trying to give them some ammunition to fight back when the whole world is screaming at them for dropping rocket stages on everyone's
head. All right, let's talk about the successes. Starship Super Heavy, where are we, Bob? Last we talked, the FAA was crowding in.
Well, Well, okay, I put a really nice link up to a really nice article reviewing in detail the past year effort by SpaceX to develop Starship Super Heavy and describing what they've done and also where they are right now. And that leads to laying out the possibilities for 2022. Musk has made it clear that he wants to launch the first orbital Starship flight, test flight. He says he could have done it in January. The FAA and its bureaucracy has forced a delay till the end of February because they haven't yet approved the environmental reassessment of the Boca Chica launch site. Most people, including me, have criticized the government for being the slowdown in this. But this review of Starship Super Heavy does lay out that SpaceX has really got a lot to do before they can do that orbital launch. And even though they're probably being slowed by the FAA, even if they had the approval, it's probably going to be a month or two or three before that orbital launch takes place, John. This does not mean that they're like SLS with endless delays. This just means that they are attempting to do something spectacular in an incredibly short amount of time. And so when you're trying to push that hard, you're going to have delays. But SpaceX delays are generally short.
In the meantime, investor class is stuffing money in their pockets.
Yes, this is an example. SpaceX this year, once again, in the last month or so, had another fundraising investment capital. They're not a publicly traded company, but they can still sell, you know, private stock or obtain investment capital. And they raised another $337 million in the last few months, which means that in 21, they raised almost $2 billion. And over the last 6 years, they've raised somewhere between, I say, $7 billion on my website, but it might be closer to $8 billion. Most of that capital is being used to finance the development of Starship Super Heavy. Some of it went to Starlink, but SpaceX has said most of the money they're raising is going to be to building Starship Super Heavy. Now, if that's $8 billion, it sounds like an awful lot of money from private investors. And it is, definitely an endorsement of SpaceX from the private investment community. They wouldn't give money here if they didn't believe this was going to make money and be a success. But we have to compare it with NASA's government-built SLS rocket, which is, once again, delayed and hasn't launched yet and has been 20 years in development and is going to cost something like $60 billion once it launches compared to $8 billion. So SpaceX is doing really well here, and we should definitely not dismiss it in any way, shape, or form.
Bob, we just have a little time here. Virgin Orbit, can you do that in a sentence?
In one sentence, Virgin Orbit is being penalized by Richard Branson's dishonesty and incompetence in Virgin Galactic because it's not getting the investment capital it was expecting in fundraising rounds.
And Firefly, postponed. I like Firefly. What's happened?
Well, they have a security problem. The guy who invested $200 million to bring this company back from bankruptcy, like a phoenix, and become a success, is a Ukrainian. And it appears the federal government has decided he's a security risk. So Firefly had to postpone its next test launch of its Alpha rocket because the federal government wants them first to get this guy out of the company completely. And they've been pushing him out slowly. He's been backing out to save the company. He cares about it. But right now they've had a delay of launch because he's still part of it and the federal government wants him out.
And the Biden administration and ISS, what's the decision?
New Year's Eve weekend, the Biden administration announced that it is committing NASA to operating ISS to 2030. It was supposed to end in 2024. They've been trying to get other nations, the partners, to agree to this. Europe is online, but Russia is pretty much out of it. They say, and I think they're right, that ISS by 2024 is going to be a risky proposition to maintain, and that's because of their own modules, the VESDA module with its stress fractures. This is not going to be, you know, you can declare on paper as much as you want that ISS is going to last, but it's a technical engineering feat, and if technology is starting to fail, it's starting to fail.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. I'm John Bash.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.